5. Imperial Palace, City of Chiraeth, Kingdom of Chisholm.
Merlin!
An Empress Charlian, whose pregnancy was just beginning to show, leapt to her feet as the tall, black-haired guardsman stepped through the door. It wasn't the way a crowned head of state normally greeted a mere captain of the Imperial Guard, but no one in the council chamber appeared conscious of any irregularity. Edward Seahamper, Charlian's personal armsman, had the duty inside the chamber. His face looked as if it were about to split in two around the fracture line of his enormous grin, and Emperor Caleb was no more than a step or two behind his wife as the two of them closed in on Captain Athrawus. Prince Narmon of Emerald sat back in his own chair with a smile of welcome, whose genuine warmth would have astounded even Narmon as recently as a few months ago, and Archbishop Michael's smile was almost as broad as Seahamper's. "Your Majesty," Merlin replied as Charlian threw her arms around him in a hug which would have threatened the structural integrity of a mere flesh-and-blood ribcage, even if he was wearing a cuirass. His tone was matter-of-fact, almost bland, but it didn't fool any of those present, and he hugged her back carefully. "Took you long enough," Caleb observed, reaching out to clasp forearms with Merlin as Charlian moved aside to give him room.
"It did take longer than I anticipated," Merlin confessed. "On the other hand, Angelic turned out to be a lot more impressive than I'd anticipated, too."
"We want to hear all about it," Charlian said.
Merlin's need to maintain the lowest profile possible, electronically speaking, had precluded the sort of daily conversations to which they'd become accustomed. He'd passed along enough information to keep them generally informed, but they knew little of the details.
"We want to hear all about it," Charlian continued, "but we don't have time for a full report right this minute. Marak and Mother will be here any time now, so anything that they're not cleared for is going to have to wait until later. Except for what you can squeeze in before they arrive, of course."
"Understood, Your Majesty," Merlin said and bowed slightly.
Baron Greenmountain and Queen Mother Alana had been as surprised as almost everyone else when it had been announced Captain Athrawus would be withdrawing from court for an overdue period of meditation. They'd been less happy than some, too, given how handy Merlin had proved when it came to stopping assassination attempts. Still, they'd also recognized that Caleb's and Charlian's confinement to the palace, which the weather would have enforced even if there'd been no other factors to consider, provided an opportune window for him to do just that without jeopardizing their security. They also knew, better than most, how close he was to Charlian and Caleb, however. Now that he was back, they would probably give the Emperor and Empress at least a little time to welcome him home. On the other hand, this was supposed to be a working meeting, and there were a great many details to settle before Caleb and Charlian departed for their scheduled return to Telesburg at the end of the month. Under the circumstances, Merlin felt sure they'd be along shortly. Fortunately, Lieutenant Franz Austin, Merlin's second-in-command from Caleb's personal detail, had the duty section outside the council chamber. Austin knew about Merlin's visions, and also knew Green Mountain and Alana hadn't been cleared for that knowledge. He could be relied upon to knock on the door and announce the First Counselor and Queen Mother's arrival instead of simply opening it and ushering them through.
In the meantime, the short version is that unless something goes incredibly wrong, Angelic is going to get herself and all her people, and trust me, there are more of them than we ever suspected, safely out of the temple lands to Siddhar City. I've managed to figure out her arrangements from getting from there to Telesburg as well, and I think they should work fine. It's going to be a bit ticklish in some ways, but she has an excellent relationship with the House of Quentin, and she's already booked passage on one of those Siddharmarkian ships with Carizian crews, which the Quentins appear to have acquired. He smiled broadly in remembered admiration, but then he sobered. The other good news is that she managed something quite extraordinary. She has Samuel Wilson's family and the families of four other vicars who were members of Wilson's circle with her. That's astonishing enough to be going on with, but she's managed to pull out 13 other vicars' families as well, from all over the Temple lands. And she's managed to get Archbishop Jason out of Glacierheart and 16 more of the circle's bishops and bishops' executor and their families. He shook his head. That's over 200 men, women, and children Clinton and the Inquisition are searching everywhere for. When word gets out that they came up short on that kind of scale, it's not going to do a thing for Clinton's aura of omnipotence. My God! Caleb sounded almost reverent. How in the name of all that's truly holy did she manage it? Obviously, I haven't been able to ask her for the details, since I didn't even realize everything she was up to until I was already on my way back here. For that matter, I doubt I've actually found everything even now. But from what I've seen of the way she operates, it probably didn't take anywhere near the manpower Clinton's going to assume it did. I'd guess she was probably the only person outside the circle itself to whom Wilson had trusted the names of every member of his group, and if I had to pick the single most dangerous thing about her, from Clinton's perspective, it's that she plans ahead with a vengeance.